Thank you, Lord God. We just are so honored to be here this morning, God. We are blessed to be here with our brothers and sisters and blessed to be here in your presence. God, I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, God, that you would clear our minds and our hearts of any distraction, God, of anything that the enemy would come to cloud what you have to speak to us this morning. God, I pray that you would give us clarity of mind and clarity of heart, Lord God, and undivided attention to your word. And Lord, I just pray, God, I thank you, Jesus, that your word is sharp, God, that to cut through, Lord God, even to the intentions of the heart, Lord God, I pray that we would receive only what you have to speak to us, God, and that you would just change our hearts, God, and make us more like you, Jesus. Draw us to you, Lord. Draw us into your presence. Draw us into your love, God, that we could be changed, God, even from the inside out, Lord. And I just bless you, and I thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jamie's out with the boys, isn't he? He had a revival dream, too, and I've had two this week. And they both involved, John Kilpatrick was in both of them. And when I think of him, I think, thank you, brother. I think of authority. He carries such a weight of authority, and he's the only person I've had a lot of people pray for me, and I've fallen out in the spirit. I mean, I love that. It hadn't happened to me in a while. There's nothing I like more than that. It's just like going to heaven with the Lord for a while. But he's the only one that I know you could have your eyes closed waiting for prayer. And from me to Holly, you could feel these waves of power and glory, and you could look up, and he was walking that way. I mean, that's the... So he has a lot of... And I can remember coming back from... You probably remember this, coming back from a pastor's conference and sitting under that teaching in glory. There was a new authority. It was like you wouldn't put up with nothing. I mean, it was kind of harsh seeming, you know, but it was... It was that authority, and, you know, that's what God's doing right now. He's getting his church ready for what he's going to do, and a lot of us that have been seemed obscure, and, you know, just a short time ago, you're going to start raising up in your mantle. You're going to start raising up and putting on the armor of God, and it's past time for, well, I won't say it's past time. God has everything in order. I've not always been good about doing things like that, but I'm going to make it a purpose to get us ready for what God wants to do. And the two dreams I had were just, I'm not even going to take time to read them. I made it a point to put everything in a, what do you call it? In here. Put it in a file. So I can look back and I can look at all these dreams and see what God's saying. So it's so cool. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited with your faithfulness and what all that some of y'all have been through, but you're still, praise God, you're still marching. You're still on the way. So he's good, isn't he? Lord Jesus, we pray for Laura this morning. I pray that you heal her body. Lord, all those right now that are sick, we thank you, God, sick in spirit, soul, or body, God, that you just completely make them whole in the name of Jesus. Okay, I'm going to read a lot of this because I don't want to just, and hopefully I won't ramble too far and I can get what the Lord wants to show us. But prayer is the key to the spiritual fertility of the church. Did y'all get that? Prayer is the key to the spiritual fertility of the church. What's fertility mean? Well, it means, fertility means that if a girl has, like Mary, I would say, has been fertile. You know, a lot of y'all have been fertile, and that just means you are, yeah. You conceive, you become with child. I mean, that's being fertile. If you plant seeds in the ground, it comes up and it's got lots of nutrients. That means the ground is fertile and it will grow things. So fertile's good. But prayer is the key to making the ground of the church fertile, which means, and fertile to the church, what kind of babies does the church desire, does Jesus desire to birth? Spiritual babies, born again, new Christians, like, you know, and a good thing, and I don't pump you up because, you know, Glenna's nothing. Glenna'd tell you, she's just saved by grace. But she's excited. She hasn't let the weight of the world bring her down, even though it's already trying, right? Disappointments. And, you know, the church can even push you down if you don't watch it. So we want to see all these new plants. New babies are exciting, right? Look, we hold babies just because. Just because they feel good and they're snuggly and, you know, they smell good most of the time. And of course, we know spiritual babies don't always smell good and act good. But praise the Lord, we love to see what it's like. A little baby, when it learns to speak its first word, it's like, whoa! And a new believer does something like, man, I read my Bible today. And it's like, whoa! I mean, you need to get excited about what God's doing with new believers. You don't, you know what I've, you know what pees me off? I shouldn't say that in church. It really hacks me off. That's on World Wide Web. It really makes me mad. It really freaks me out when a new believer will come up and misquote a scripture and somebody's right there to correct them. No, 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 that ain't right. It's like, shut up, man. It's like, this baby is doing something. Ugh, I mean, unless, I don't even have to qualify that. Just don't do that. Just say, bless you, praise the Lord, you know. What was it? Was it Jason Upton? Did y'all ever see Jason Upton? Awesome. He was talking one time, I think it was out Taylorsville, Kentucky. And he was talking about new believers, and he said this friend of his who'd been on drugs and was just whacked out and messed up had got saved and was reading their Bible. And he come up to Jason Upton, who'd been to Bible college, and, you know, he knew some stuff. And this young man came up to him and said, yeah, man, he said, it reminds me of the scripture, man, like a bridge over troubled water. Which was, what, a Simon and Garfunkel song? But he knew the kid was picking up, God is like a bridge over troubled waters, you know? So, I mean, you know, just get ready for some. My cool present I got was a David Wilkerson book, a biography, and which is incredible. He was a little country bumpkin in Pennsylvania, and God told him one day he was reading the newspaper and it showed these gangs murdering each other in New York City, and God said, I want you to go minister to the gangs in New York City. And you know what? He did. And he went in there in a suit and a tie and shiny shoes. And he went up to the Mau Maus and I can't remember their name, but he went right up to Nicky Cruz and said, I love you, man. I love you, man. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. And one day Nicky Cruz put a switchblade to his throat and said, if you say Jesus to me one more time, I'm going to cut your head off. He said, I'm going to cut you up into little pieces. Dave Wilkerson, being the fearful man he was, said, and Nicky, every piece will scream out, I love you, I love you, I love you. And that boy broke right there and gave his life to Jesus and been an evangelist. But I got this book, and it talks about things like this. It talks about a new convert at a big convention. It was like a pastor's convention. And this, I got to praise. And they let him come up there, and he started going F and blah, blah. He was giving praises to the Lord, but his language was not yet sanctified. And he did not, you would think Dave Wilkerson, he's a holiness preacher now, man. He's a holiness preacher. He didn't go. He let him go on and finish, even though there was people that were shocked. So I'm just saying, we don't advocate that kind of language, but you know, when the harvest comes in, man, it's going to be raw. It's going to be good. Come to Jesus. God can clean your mouth up, man. He cleaned mine up. If anybody had, nobody had no fouler mouth than Mark did. Well, maybe I'm not comparing, but I mean, anyway, I've done got way off track here. Lord Jesus, help us get back. I got one sentence. Prayer is the key to spiritual fertility of the church. And the rest of that says, it is communion with God through which His kingdom comes to earth. Man, if I could write that down, I would write that down, because that's a powerful statement, and I did not make it up. Prayer is the key to the spiritual fertility of the church, and it is communion with God through which His kingdom comes to earth. Philippians 4. And I've just pulled out several scriptures that Paul had laid out. You know, I'm not reading this word for word. It was too long. But it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Think of these statements, okay? Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. But somebody give me some water. She knows where. Oh, thank you, brother. Here's another one. I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. That's one we need some work on. I do. I have learned in what. This is Paul. He said, I have learned this. He knew it, see. He wasn't telling you out of somebody that hadn't experienced it. He walked it. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Excuse me. I know how to be abased. That means pushed down, squashed down. And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to be both full. 3. Wow, we're going to be here a while, guys. I wasn't planning on that. Said I wasn't either. Thank you, man. Yeah. That's okay. I'll look it up later.
Okay, we're shortening your time.
Holding my lip. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Here's another big one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here's another big one. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I made a little note here, because I got this scripture early in the week, but it was the whole thing, unedited. You know, I just knew that was a lot to read. But Paul's walk was not a one-time unreachable goal. Because when we read the Bible, lots of times that's what we think it is. We think, oh, he was a superstar. And he was. But every time I look in the Bible and I see some great work or word or scripture that has been written by a man of God, I think, you know what? God is no respecter of person. God doesn't love Paul any more than he loves me. God doesn't love Billy Graham any more than he does the wino or the drug addict that's going to die in an alley tonight. God is no respecter of persons at all. The wisdom, listen to this, the wisdom, the power, the anointing that was on Paul is available to you. Everyone who believes. Y'all believe that? Do you really believe that? Well, I tell you what, when you're told that and you believe it, y'all said you just believed that, didn't you? Just say the same anointing, power, wisdom, joy, peace is available to me that was on Paul. I can have as much or more. And we all like to quote, you know, Pentecostals love to quote scripture like, greater works than these shall you do than even Jesus did. Now, is that a true statement? Or is that just something fluffy in there to make you operate, you know? No. And it's not to put a guilt trip on you if you're not operating in that. It's just to say it's available. You have to reach out and take it. All you have to do, you know, when you were telling that story, you went to the funeral, evidently, the funeral home. There'll be a day, Glenna. And every time I go in a funeral home, I'm waiting for it to happen. Maybe it'll be Grandma Bickle. But every time I'm in a funeral home, I can't say I got great faith. Evidently not. But I will. I don't start speaking wildly in tongues and making loud proclamations, but I lay my hand on the body and I'll go, in the name of Jesus, rise up. And I'll sit there and I'll wait to feel a pulse, or I'll sit there and look for a little flicker, you know? And you might think that's really strange and odd, but it's the gospel. There'll be a day, and it's happening. It happens periodically all around the world. But I mean, I've not got to experience that yet. But I remember when my mom, my brother especially, I'm like, you know, the family can go in there all by themselves, like before it opens up, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to war. It didn't happen, but you know what? I never felt like, oh, God, I feel like such a fool. No, I just did what your word says, God. Now the results are up to you. You can't let that. Anyway, there I've gone off again. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer for the salvation of the lost, the sanctification of the redeemed. What's sanctification? Set apart. And the full consummation of God's kingdom reign on earth to be fully ushered in at the return of Jesus. God's kingdom reign on earth. And Lord showed me this. Whether it's totally accurate or not, I'm going to tell you, I don't know. But he gave me 4 points here. God's kingdom was confessed when Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Number two, God's kingdom began when Jesus said, it is finished. God's kingdom began when Jesus said, it is finished. God's kingdom was enforced when Jesus took the keys to death and hell and rose from the grave. That's when he enforced it and said, give them back. I've paid for them. And he took back the keys to death and hell. Revelation 1:17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. God's kingdom. Number four, God's kingdom was released to the church, Jesus' bride, when the day of Pentecost came. And the church, the true believers, were baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's when the power of heaven was released on the church. Jesus, when Jesus went for 3 days and battled and whatever he did, when he went into the pits of the earth, he went down and made a, I think I read in the Bible, he made a public spectacle of the enemy. He went in there and he shamed the enemy and he took back what he had. He took back what Adam gave away, which were the keys to death and hell. See, man was never supposed to die, was he not? Man was never supposed to suffer. Man was never supposed to toil. Man was never supposed to sin. But God, Jesus, had to go down and take those keys back. And anyone that takes the name of Jesus on receives that key that unlocks the door. Praise the Lord. Matthew 16, he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, you are a little stone, you are a little pebble, but upon this rock, which is large boulder or cliff, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." No, he's not standing at the pearly gates waiting for you to get there and say, "Okay, you can get in." No, Peter's just like everybody else in heaven. He's worshiping the king. He's around the throne. Peter has nothing to do with getting into heaven. What that means is literally the confession. What was the confession that Peter made prior to all that? "I have given you the keys." What was the confession? Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And what did Peter say? "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The confession is the rock. The confession is your salvation. The confession is what gets you right with Jesus. Of who Jesus is. Sorry, I'm going to stray off for a minute. Just want to let you know how you can always recognize a Christian cult. You need to know this in these last days, really. You need to know this. They're springing up like weeds. I said a Christian cult, pseudo-Christian cult's what it's called, which means false Christian cult. They say a lot of the right things, but there's something that divides them from Jesus. And that's the confession that Jesus, you are God. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you're existing from beginning to end. You've got to know who Jesus is. That's the confession that will save you. They don't believe in it because the enemy's at the head of the helm. The enemy hates the idea that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God, that Jesus came in the flesh. The enemy hates that. Because when he went to the cross and he shed his perfect blood, the powers of darkness were defeated. And he had to give the keys back. And he didn't like giving the keys back, so he don't want to give back any souls. He'd just soon take you all to hell. Really. Misery loves company. So when you pass from death to life, if you've been born again, you were born again with this 2,000-year-old confession. Who do you say that he is, Sarah? Lord. The Christ. What's the Christ? That's his last name, right? No, Christ means the anointed one. Praise the Lord. I'm not telling y'all nothing you don't know, but we need to survey what we believe and stand on it. You know, if we want this power to see God do some amazing things, first we got to believe the power He's given us to live forever. What greater gift were you ever given than the gift to live forever with Jesus? What was greater than when you came to Jesus and you were screwed up, God started tearing down strongholds, God started delivering you from things, God started putting a new song in your heart, and He started putting new words in your mouth, and man, you didn't hate people anymore, you loved people that you hated, and it's just evidence of the power of God and the power of forgiveness. Not getting too deep, Anna, am I? Romans 10:8. What does it say? Y'all know this. The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The word of faith that we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, what? You will be saved. Is that what it says? Is that just sometimes? Or is that every time we do that? If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. See, that throws out the confession. That throws out empty confession. But it's believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is God. Praise the Lord. Mark 5, He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." This is the lady that had the issue of blood and reached out and touched Jesus' garment. And she was made whole. As soon as Jesus heard the word, while He was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead." That was a confession. Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He heard the death word, right? Your little girl's dead. There's no point in bringing the master to the house. It's too late. She's already dead. She's not breathing. In fact, she's getting cold. And Jesus, He permitted no one to follow Him except who? Peter, James, John, the brother of James. He came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, which was a religious person, right? Head of the church, and saw a tumult. What's that? A crowd? A tumult? A large crowd? And those who wept and wailed loudly. When He came in, He said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep?" The child is not dead, but sleeping. The word that came to Jesus was what? Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble Jesus any further. Jesus' word was, don't worry. Your daughter's only sleeping. You see the difference? Death and life. Jesus was given the word of death, but Jesus proclaimed the word of life. I'm teaching me, okay? This needs to get in our spirit. The child is not dead but sleeping. And they, what do they do? It's like if you walk in a funeral home and speak over a casket. What do? They might go, they're not going to get vocal with you because they're scared you're a maniac and you're packing. But, I mean, they're like, ugh, this person's not right, right? They're going to ridicule you. You walk up to a casket, you're going to be ridiculed. Most likely. They ridiculed Jesus, but when He had put them all outside, Jesus, get out. Let me give you some advice. If you're ever in a hospital room and you just feel unbelief just crawling in there, you don't need to say, get out. You probably don't have the same authority. But I've many times said, Would y'all mind just like going and getting a Coke or something for a few minutes so I can, because, you know, when they're already talking funeral arrangements and pulling the plug and, you know, whatever, when they're already talking at it, it's not conducive to, Jesus didn't receive that word, but, He took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and he entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Tahitha kumai," which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Prayer is the key to spiritual fertility of the church. Remember that. It's communion with God through which His kingdom comes to earth. The seduction of prayer, you know what seduction is? You ever heard of somebody being seduced? They're like pure, they're virgin, and somebody comes along and whispered sweet nothings in their ear, and pretty soon they're captivated. That's seduction. The seduction of prayer is evident when our prayer lives have an appearance of communion with God, but lack the substance of such communion. And I'm not telling you when it sounds like your words are just bouncing off the wall. Don't think that you won't go through times like that. You will. Believe me, if you walk with Jesus long enough, there'll be times when you don't feel His presence, unless I'm just the only odd one in here. But that don't mean you stop talking, because if you remember Jesus, when He was in the garden, no, when He was on the cross, He said, Father, why have you forsaken me? So if Jesus felt forsaken by the Father, you know, and He walked in perfect faith, you know there's going to be times when we're not going to feel it. So don't despair at that. Luke 11, y'all can turn there if you got, and I'm going to close here in just a minute, even though I've got lots of water left. Sure. The seduction of prayer is evident when our prayer lives have an appearance of communion with God, but lack the substance of such communion. And if you ever want to listen to this, all you got to do is go to faithforharvest.com with the number 4, not F-O-R, the number 4. And you can, Holly's been getting them up really quick, so praise the Lord. Luke 11, verse 1. It came to pass as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus laid out, I don't like the word formula, but he laid out a format of how we should pray, the order we should pray. It makes perfect sense. And I've been practicing this for a couple of weeks, and Donna and I did it years ago. We used to do it before work, and when we got the challenge, could you not pray with me 1 hour, was a challenge that Larry Lee gave out. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Me and Donna's like, we pray, but then we pray throughout the day. But to set us apart a block, a 1 hour block of time, seems almost intimidating and boring. But if you have structure and if you know what the Lord is showing you, and first off, if you believe that Jesus hears you and you believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, you know, if you've been hurt or wounded or disappointed, you need to repent of that, because that wasn't God. It's not God's intention for you to be angry or disappointed with Him. God wants to bless you, and you just got to know He's good, even when you don't understand. He's good. He's just always good. And He's always got a plan the next step out. If you'll just keep walking with Him, you'll figure it out. But if you turn around and go back, you're never going to know why that happened in your life. And you're never going to see. It says, there's a verse that says, what the enemy meant for evil, that God desires to turn that around and use it for His glory. So we'll read the whole thing. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then you got to go to Matthew and pick up 6:13, which says, For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So, you start out with Our Father, which art in heaven. And you can flip over your paper if you want to. Our Father, which art in heaven. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. When you say Our Father, as you have you got your eyes closed and maybe you're in a worshipful mood, you just raise your hands up and you start thanking the Father for sending Jesus. You know, we always thank Jesus and praise the Lord for Jesus' sacrifice, but you know, John 3:16 says, For God the Father, and I'm putting the Father in there, but God the Father so loved Amy, so loved Mark, so loved Glenna. Make it personal. For God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son. The Father gave His Son. The Father chose to sacrifice His Son so you could have life, so you could have forgiveness, so you could have freedom, so you could walk in the kingdom of God. Right? Was there a pre-fulfillment of that in the Old Testament? There was several, but I'll tell you what, the one, what happened, who carried their son out into the desert with wood and sticks and built an altar? Who did that? Abraham. Abraham built an altar because the father, that was Abraham's one and only son. I mean, he had a concubine that had a son, but that was the son of promise. So all these years, he's like 100 years old, and finally God gives him a son, him and Elizabeth in their old age. And he promised, he said, look up at the stars. He said, I will make your family, I will make those offspring from you like the stars in the sky. And this finally happened. And then he took his son, who I think was about 12 years old, I'm not really sure, but he took him out, and God says, go slay your son. Go sacrifice your son to me. So he took a knife, he took wood, he took his son, and they packed him on a donkey, and they went to a place, and they built an altar out of stone. He tied his son to the stone. It's like a 100-year-old man. This boy could have put up a fight, obviously, but he trusted his father, right? He trusted his father would do right. And he prepared the wood, he prepared the sacrifice, and he took the knife, and he was in the motion of plunging it. And God said, no! And you know, when Abraham got there, he said, where's the sacrifice, Lord? Said, the Lord will provide a sacrifice. He said, don't slay your son. So where's the sacrifice? Meh, meh, meh. There was a ram tangled up. Imagine that. Tangled up in the briars. There's your sacrifice. And we know it did become a great nation, didn't he? So you look up to heaven and you thank God for what He did for the blood of Jesus and what it did for you. Just thank Him for the blood of Jesus. If God didn't do anything but save you, Si, that would have been enough, man. That would have been enough. If He never answered another prayer, that would have been enough. And you go on and you go, hallowed be Thy name. Praise God for who He is. Start shouting out who He is. Who is He? Come on, who is God? Give me a name for God. Lord. Jehovah Rapha, King. Holy One. Counselor. Creator. Mighty God. Prince of Peace. Alpha Omega, Great I Am. Savior. What's that? Father. Abba, Father. Come on, Nina, you know 100. Give me one. Deliverer. Yes, hail the deliverer. You know, they called Abraham the deliverer, Moses the deliverer, didn't they? Praise the Lord. Okay, you got your papers there. You got a cheat sheet. Hallow the names of God. Hallow the names of God. God is called by these names. Listen, God, all these names here, God is called by these names. You know, Jehovah means what? Jehovah. When we say Jehovah, we start talking about the attributes of God. We start talking about what He does, who He is, what His character is. It's good to know what God's like, isn't it? If you're going to pray to something or somebody, you should know what He's like. Shouldn't you? I mean, should you be stupid? Who is God? God has called these names not because He will become these attributes to us when we have need. He already is all-sufficient. He already is self-existing. He is Creator and King. You know, Amy, Jesus isn't going to Jehovah's not going to be transformed in Jehovah Rapha when you get sick. He's not going to say, oh, I need to become Jehovah Rapha now for Amy. He's already Jehovah Rapha. He's already there before the need happens. Does that make sense? We look at it like we've got to talk you into being that for me. He's already there. He's already there ahead of the problem. Okay. It's overload. I know it's a lot. I'm going to look at the prayer guide now. I'm out of notes. Praise the Lord. So, look at that area of benefit. We're going to stop when we go through these. We may not even get through all. Area of benefit, sin and forgiveness of sin. Name of God, Jehovah Tsidkenu. I might butcher some of this Hebrew, but I think I know it pretty close. Jehovah Tsidkenu means Jehovah what? Say it. Jehovah, my righteousness. Say Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah is my righteousness. Say Jehovah M'Kadesh. Jehovah sanctifies me. He's a sanctifier. He sets me apart. He puts my feet on the solid ground. That's pretty exciting. He's a spirit. He's the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He's the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Say Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah is my peace. Jehovah is my peace. Praise the Lord. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah is there. Jehovah is here. Now. There's no distance with Jehovah. He's here. He's close as a heartbeat. He gives us soundness. He gives us health and healing. Jehovah Rapha. Say it. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah is what? Jehovah is my healer. Jehovah. Jireh. He gives us freedom from curse of the law. Jehovah Jireh. He is what? He is my provider. Jehovah Jireh. My provider, His grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. He shall give His angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. You need songs to remember this stuff, don't you? He is my security. Say, He's my security. Freedom from the fear of death and hell. Come on, freedom from the fear of death and hell. Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah is my banner. Hold it up. Jehovah is my banner. Come on, wave your hand at Him. You're my banner, Lord. Your banner over me is what? Love. He invites me to His banqueting table, and His banner over me is love. He invites me to His banqueting table, and His banner over me is love. Come on. He invites me to His banqueting table, and His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. I love You and You love me, and His banner over me is love. I love You and You love me, and His banner over me is love. I love You and You love me, and His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. I never have trouble remembering that song. Because there was somebody in our youth group many years ago. His name started with a D and ended with a D. David, our son. And him and a couple other rowdy boys like to change words and stuff in songs and act goofy. They would go, He invites me to His banqueting table. And they'd like, argh. And they'd say, I love you and you better love me. And it's so, see, I know. The enemy always tries to get in there, don't he? Jehovah Rohi. Say that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. Green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. My soul's been beat up. My soul's been kicked around. Come on, baby, take another little piece of my heart. And Jesus puts it back. Gives you a fleshly heart. Gives you love again. Gives you love for your fellow man. Oh, it's so good. So good. I need a song for that. Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. You know who wrote that song? The Young Bloods. Did you know there's a verse in there that says, when the one that left us here finally returns? So I figured that was probably a veiled gospel song. Let's stand up. I know y'all are tired. And I haven't even finished one water yet. Take your piece of paper right quick and look at it. Look at number three right there. When you're praying, you start out praying, thank You, Lord, for washing away my sins. Thank You for Your blood, Jesus, for making me able to approach Your throne. And that's good. That's good stuff. But then in 3 it says, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. For what? Yourself, your family, your mate, your children, other family members, be your church, your pastor, your leadership, faithfulness of people, harvest of soul, your nation, city, state, town, harvest of souls, spiritual leaders, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And what you do is, it's not a rote prayer, it's just a guideline, and God will show you, the Holy Spirit will put on your heart what you're exactly to pray. But you'll be amazed how quickly the time goes. And we're just touching this first part. I bet you can get 15, 20 minutes out of this easy, okay? And don't go for a marathon. Just try to give this to the Lord. And if we start praying in one accord and He gives us prayer directives, I believe we're going to see a mighty move of God. And don't forget that 1 mile radius we have told, God told us to claim around this church, you know. That's a starting point. But Lord Jesus, God, we thank You, Father. We thank You, God. Just start praying however you're led. God, thank You, Jesus, Father, that You have given me, You gave Your Son so I could be forgiven. You gave Your Son because You loved me, Jesus. You had a plan for me. You had a purpose for me, God. You knew me when I was in my mother's womb. And God will just start filling your mouth when you speak His name. God, I thank You for Your kingdom to come and Your will to be done in my life, God. I thank You, God. Jehovah Sidkenu, God, You are my righteousness. I thank You that all my righteousness is filthy rags, God. But I thank You, Lord, You have cleansed me. You put on a shield. You have protected me from my enemies, God. I thank You, Lord, Jehovah Mkadesh, God, You sanctify me. You set me apart. God, You set my family apart to be holy and pure, God. You set the family members that aren't right with You, God. You're setting them apart right now. You're bringing them in, God. You're doing everything it takes to free them, God, in Jesus' name. Jehovah Shalom, God, You are my peace. God, when I'm in the midst of turmoil, God, when bills came in, God, when family's bickering and arguing, God, when it seems like everything's falling apart, God, You are my peace, God. I claim that peace. I advocate that peace in the name of Jesus. Jehovah Shammah, thank You. You are always there. God, You've never left me out. You've never left me behind. You've always made a way for me, God. When it was darkest, God, You made a way for me. God, when it felt like everything was crumbling, God, You made a way for me. God, in Jesus' name, God, when there was a huge mortgage on this building, God, and things were crumbling, I'm like, God, where are You? You were there. You were there. You were faithful in the midst of it all. And you guys make this personal. See, I'm just kind of telling you, when your heart starts flowing like this, you're just, God, find you a place where nobody cares if you scream. And if you can't find a place like that, go in your closet. Literally go in your closet and lock yourself in there, because God wants to meet you in that secret place of the Most High. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. What's that? Jesus, You are my healer. You are my deliverer, God. And you know what? I will give You a testimony, man. You know what it feels like when the flu, you're starting to come down with the flu? You know what it feels like? You start getting achy. You start getting warm. Your stomach starts getting like, and something else, the rear end starts, you can tell something's going on in there. Something's trespassing in your body that don't need to be trespassing. You know what I did? I went to the doctor to get a test. I said, Jehovah Rapha, You are the healer. Not you're going to become the healer. You are the healer, God. Take this flu. Take whatever's trying to come upon me in the name of Jesus. I come against You. I don't come against You in fear and say, how long is it going to last? How long am I going to have to put up with this? In little faith, I just started proclaiming, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rapha. You be Lord over this sickness. You be Lord over what's trying to come on me. You know what? I woke up the next morning and it never manifested. I've never had the flu not manifest. Once that stomach starts rolling and that aching comes on your body, you know what? I've never had it not manifest until this week. So I give God praise for that. He's no respecter of persons. And what if I had went on and got it? You know what? I still would be thanking the Lord. It don't matter. He is God. Praise the Lord. Did I get them all? No! Jehovah Jireh. I'm not going to do any more. You got the idea, though. Do it. I'm just asking you one thing. Put me in there. Please, pray for me. Put me in these. Pray for me and call out for God for me, because I need strength, man. I'm going to try to spend some time away with the Lord this week, and I really, really need some direction. I really, really need to hear some specific. I need some strategy. I need to hear from God. And unless he shows up, I'll just be wasting my time. But I know he will because I've asked him to, and y'all are going to pray for me. He's there. So, Jesus, I just pray, Father, that you bless this group of people that loves you, Jesus. Just hold your hands up and wave to him. You are my banner, Lord. Just tell him, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Father, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, God. And I believe. Just tell him you believe. I believe, Jesus. I believe, Father. Help my unbelief. Help me when I'm weak in the faith, God. Help my unbelief. I want to be just like you when I grow up, Jesus. And listen, man, right now, this is very important. If there's anything between you and Jesus, and we didn't cover forgiveness and all that, but if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, if you've walked away from God, you know what? He's still there. You know that it said he's there. He's here. God hasn't went anywhere, and his arms are always wide open. You'll never come up to God, and he'll be like this. We do that, but God never does that. Well, you're just going to have to, you know, I'm just going to have to sulk for a while. God's not like that. God just washes it all away. And says, come on, let's start clean. So if you need to do that, if you need to make a fresh commitment to Jesus, if you need to make a first-time commitment to Jesus, please, if you're listening on the World Wide Web, all you have to do is surrender and repent of your sins and ask Jesus, confess him as Lord and Savior and risen from the dead. And you know what? He will do something amazing in your life. He will forgive you. So, Lord, bless them going out and bless them coming in. And the altars are open, please. If you need prayer for anything, God is a healer. God is a miracle worker. Lord, bless them going out and bless them coming in. Bless their families. Bless their workplaces. Hold your hands up high. And Lord, everything they give into the kingdom, can y'all claim this? Everything I give into the kingdom, I make 10,000-fold demand on it. I want to be a giver into the kingdom, Jesus. Lord, give me seed to give, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Like I say, if he's spoken to you, please don't let the enemy keep you away from the altar. He wants to love on you, and yeah, he's good. He's so good. I love y'all. Y'all are good folks. Y'all are a good flock. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you a lot next year. No, not next year. This year. Maybe next year too. That's a good tune. I like that. Anybody needs prayer? Come on up. Hey, Gabriel. Come up here, brother. Please. Hey, I want everybody. Did I understand that you received Jesus today and asked him to come into your life? Gabriel asked Jesus to come into his life in Sunday school this morning. Let's give the Lord a big hand. I think that's awesome. You want to share that or have anything to say about it?